Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to morning worship in St Andrews Lumbride and Urquhart Parish Church. I'm very pleased to welcome today the Reverend Rosemary Legg on her first visit to Lumbride. So we look forward very much to what she's going to say to us. There's a Presbyterial Council meeting at 7 p.m. in St. Geraldine's Church in Lossiemouth next Monday, the 3rd of June. And the talk is on empowering teenage mothers in Zambia. And that's one of the Guild's projects for the next 3 years. Alistair had a letter from the Reverend Bob Anderson, minister at Nacando and artist in Linkworth Rothes, telling us about a Scots Songs of Praise to be held in Nacando Church on Sunday the 9th of June at 6:30 p.m. The Elgin Strathspeyan reel players will be accompanying the singing and refreshments will be offered after the service. Our own service of favourite hymns will be held tonight in St Margaret's Hall in Urquhart at 7 p.m. And while we're speaking about Songs of Praise services, I had the enormous privilege of being in the Assembly Hall in Edinburgh on Tuesday night for the Big Sing, the Guild Big Sing. It's a wonderful occasion. I always enjoy the annual meeting one in Dundee, where there's about 2,000 Guildswomen and some men gathered together for the annual meeting, and the singing is absolutely amazing. So the Big Sing was another thing that I wanted to go to, so I was there on Tuesday night, as was Susan Gilliland. The first young lady I bumped into was Rachel Billis, and Rachel has just finished her training as a teacher and has got herself a job. I think it's at a village in Fife she's going to. So it was lovely to see her. And I just imagined her when the Billis family came here. I can't remember how many years ago it is, but anyway, it must be almost 20 years. And Rachel was just a little girl of three. And she used to clamber onto Sandy's knee and ruffle his hair, and I think that's why he doesn't have very much of it left. So there you are, and she gave me news of the rest of the family. Anna's going to be in Wales for the summer, and then Katie goes away to start music in Leeds after the summer break. So it was lovely to see her. I also saw Grant Petrie and waving to each other. He was upstairs and I was down. And Attie was sitting just behind him. And there's a story about that too, because Attie went over to say hello to the organist after the service. And who was it but David Stewart? And he's Andrew's friend who comes here and plays sometimes when he's staying up with Andrew. So Attie said to him that he was Attie, and he says, "Oh yes, I know who you are." had obviously heard. He said, "I know Lumbride," so that was quite nice too. Anyway, enough of that. Just remember that this our service of praise tonight in Urquhart Hall. That's what set me off on that. Remember that there's always a tea and coffee through in the hall after the service, and you're all welcome to that. So the choir will now sing the introit.
Thank you.
Well, good morning, everyone. And I must say, it's a great pleasure to be here. My husband, Bill, is at the front, smiling at me. but you're smiling too, so that's really good. We've never been here before, but it's a great pleasure to be able to worship with you today. So we start with some words from Psalm 145. I will exalt you, my God the King. I will praise your name for ever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name for ever and ever. And so let us sing hymn 160, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, hymn 160. In our prayer today, if you'd like to join in the prayer, when I say Father of all, you join and say, we praise you. I will say Father of all, and you say, we praise you. Let us pray. Almighty God, our loving Heavenly Father, you are great and wonderful, all-powerful, all loving, all good, and all forgiving. Father of all, we praise you. We come here today to remind ourselves of all that you have done, your mighty acts across the years, your coming to our world in Jesus Christ, your transforming of countless lives, one for him. Father of all, we praise you. We have come to rejoice in all that you are still doing. Your faithful love reaching out to all people everywhere. Your mercy offering us new beginnings where before there was only despair. And your saving purpose constantly being fulfilled. Father of all, we praise you. Lord God, we pray that you will forgive us for the times when we forget how great you are, for times when we are worried and anxious. Forgive us for anything that spoils our relationship with you and with other people. For your love and forgiveness, Father of all, we praise you. And so, Lord, we pray that you would fill us afresh with your Spirit, enlarge our vision, deepen our faith, and renew our trust. Restore our sense of wonder in all that you are doing today and all that you will do in the years to come. Father of all, we praise you in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory for ever. Amen. And now we have our first Bible reading from the Psalms.
The first reading is from Psalm 145, beginning at verse 8. And it's on page 632 of the Pew Bibles, if you want to follow it. 632. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All you have made praise, all you have made will praise you, O Lord. Your saints will extol you. They will tell of your glory, of your kingdom, and speak of your might, so that all men may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving towards all he has made. The Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts up all those who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing.
Well, I thought we would have a quiz today. So, if you want to move and try and see the pictures, you need to be able to see the pictures. They're all birds, and so you've got to guess, first of all, what bird it is, but also where would you expect to find them nesting? Where do they nest? So we started with a really, really easy one. A blackbird. Now, where would you expect to find a blackbird nest? In a hedgerow. Yeah, in the hedge usually. Mm-hmm. You might even get one in the hedge in your garden. Next one? A blue tit, yes, and pretty obvious where that's nesting, in a nest box. But in nature, if there wasn't a nest box, a hole in a tree, I would imagine, yeah. So sparrows. I don't know if they might nest in hedges. I know where they used to nest in my previous months, because we used to hear them. All right. Up at the side of the house.
Yes, they did.
Yeah. In my previous months, they obviously found holes under the eaves because we used to hear them scuttling around. I'm pretty sure they weren't mice. They were the sparrows. You heard them chattering. So they can get into the roofs of houses, but possibly other places as well. A woodpecker. Holes in trees, I would think, yeah. Now you know the answer to this one. A swallow. So where do they nest? What sort of nest do they build? Yeah, a mud nest. Under eaves or on a platform. It's on a platform, isn't it? Where there's maybe an abaya or somewhere like that, if they can get in, and they nest on top of the wooden beams. And these are a similar looking bird, but they nest in a different place. Their nests are completely different, really. They're still made of mud, but you can see the difference between swallows have a long tail, and this little bird, which is similar, has like a white rump. It's a house martin. So where do they nest? Yeah, they make little nests under the eaves, and they too chatter away. We've got some in our manse where we are now. Now, this is three blackbirds, and they kind of look similar, but they're different sizes. This is the smallest of these blackbirds. It is a jackdaw. Yes, it's a jackdaw. And where might you find them nesting? And they can be a bit of a nuisance. Chimneys, yeah, and if you're not using your chimney, it's a good idea to put something across the top, netting or something, otherwise they can nest in the chimney and you end up with sticks and maybe even jackdaws in your chimney. Now, this is another blackbird. It's a bit bigger and it's got a grey sort of bill. Crows have black bills. A rook. Now, where would you find rooks nesting? Yeah, in trees, and usually all together, don't they? And they make a lot of noise flying around at dusk. Somebody said it's like having a praise meeting. Yeah. Now, here's another even bigger one, which somebody just said. It's bigger than a crow, a raven. And you don't find them here in farmland. So where would you find ravens? Where do they nest? Yeah, up in the mountains or cliffs, they nest on rocks. So different places, even though they're similar, same crow family. This one's carrying a fish, so osprey. Where does ospreys nest? Up on big, mostly pine trees, don't they? Yeah, they build a very big nest. That's cute, isn't it? Gannets. Where? Yeah? Anybody know the name of the place where they nest along the coast? Troophead, yeah. And you do see them flying along the coast and diving for fish if you're lucky, if you go up to the coast there. Ah, puffins. Now, where do they nest? Yeah, they make a little burrow like a rabbit burrow. And in fact, I think they probably would use rabbit burrows. They're awful cute, aren't they? Mallard ducks. Where do you find their nests? Probably on the banks or on little islands in ponds. And an oyster catcher. I think the mallards would make it in amongst grass and reeds, but the oyster catchers, you do find them nesting by rivers, but yeah, stones, and they can even nest on fence posts, actually. So although they're similar birds, they're nesting in different places. And finally, peewits, witch nest. In fields, yeah, in fields. Usually get them up country. So we see there that all these wonderful birds, we could find loads and loads more, but they all nest in different places. And it's like God has made this wonderful world with all these beautiful different birds and given each one a different place to nest. And we're thinking today about how God has made people different and given us all a place within the world to work for him. And we're thinking today about a man called Saul. Now, after Jesus died, he rose from the dead, went back up to heaven, and he had told his friends, I want you to go around and tell everyone about me. Tell everyone about Jesus, was the message. So his friends went out telling everyone about Jesus. But there was this man called Saul who hated these Christians and wanted to put them in prison and even to have them killed. And he went round Jerusalem and arrested as many of these Christians as he could find. And then he got special letters from the priest there to go to Damascus, another city where he heard there were some Christians. And he went off to Damascus to find some more Christians to put in prison. But on the way there, there was a great light came from heaven, and it made him blind. And he said, he heard a voice that said, Saul, why are you attacking me? And he said, attacking you? Who are you? And the voice said, I am Jesus, whom you are attacking. Now, you're going to be blind for a little while, and I want you to go into the city where a man called Ananias will come and pray for you so that you can see again, because I have a special job for you to do in the world today. Now, Ananias was praying, and God spoke to Ananias and said, I want you to go to Straight Street and find Saul and pray that he will be healed because he's been blind. And Ananias said, Saul? Oh, that's the man that's attacking everybody. That's the man that's putting all the Christians in prison. I can't possibly go and pray for him. But God said to him, I want you to go and pray for Saul so that he can see again, because I've got a special job for him. I want him to go throughout the world and tell people about me. So do you think Ananias did what God wanted him to do? Yeah, he did. I bet he was a bit scared, just like we would be. But Ananias went and prayed for Saul, and sure enough, Saul was able to see again. And he did indeed become a very, very strong Christian and went around many, many countries telling people about Jesus for the rest of his life. So we're going to sing again now. We're going to sing about the beautiful world that God has made, all things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small. And we have that lovely little verse about the birds there. Each little flower that opens, each little bird that sings, he made their glowing colours, he made their tiny wings. So let us sing, all things bright and beautiful.
Thank you.
The first New Testament reading is Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 43. And you'll find this on page 970 of the Pew Bibles. And it's entitled, Love for Enemies. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward do you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you only greet your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. And the second reading today is from Acts chapter 9, beginning at verse 19. And that's on page 1103 of the Pew Bibles. And it's entitled, Saul in Damascus and Jerusalem. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once he began to preach in the synagogue that Jesus is the Son of God. All those who heard him were astonished and asked, "Isn't he the man who caused havoc in Jerusalem among those who call on his name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests?" Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Christ. After many days had gone by, the Jews conspired to kill him, but Saul learned of their plan. Day and night, they kept close watch on the city gates in order to kill him. But his followers took him by night and lowered him in a basket through an opening in the wall. When he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So Saul stayed with them and moved freely about Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. He talked and debated with the Greeks and Jews, but they tried to kill him. When the brothers learned of this, they took him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace. It was strengthened and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It grew in numbers, living in the fear of the Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Alistair. Sounds like the disciples in Jerusalem were quite relieved to be able to send Saul off to Tarsus, doesn't it? We're thinking today about the fact that God has made a wonderful world in which there is room for all. And God has made a wonderful church as well, a church full of variety, in which there is room for all people. Today we're going to be thinking about two of those people, Saul and Barnabas, two very different characters who worked together and were greatly used by the Lord because they recognized that in the church there is room for all. So first of all, let's think about Saul. He was someone who was hot and quick-thinking active, never did anything by halves. He had a dramatic conversion, a complete turnaround from persecutor to preacher. He was strong-willed, self-sufficient, and independent. We saw in Damascus how immediately after his conversion, at once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. Opposition did not deter him. Rather, his preaching became even more powerful. In other words, he was a very passionate preacher. Someone that might come to mind is Martin Luther King. If you don't remember him, you might have seen pictures of him preaching. Very powerful preacher, and I imagine that Saul was something like that. Saul didn't care about what people thought about him, and he didn't give up. He didn't run away from conflict. And we saw that in Damascus, when people wanted to kill him, when the Jews wanted to kill him, that it was the followers of Jesus who had to persuade him to leave and to let him down out of the wall in a basket. And then he went off to Jerusalem and he was preaching there. And it was the believers in Jerusalem who had to persuade him to leave and took him down to Caesarea and put him on that boat to Tarsus, which was his hometown, a city in Turkey where he had been brought up. So Saul was a natural leader. He was courageous, not afraid to speak his mind, got things started, but then handed over to others while he went on to the next project. We need the Sauls of this world. We need them in the world and we need them in the church to speak out for truth and for justice, sometimes to shake us out of our apathy, to take the initiative and seize the opportunity and lead us forward. We need to ensure that there is room in the church for people like Saul. And then there was Barnabas. He was completely different to Saul, quiet, gentle, a behind-the-scenes sort of person. You might imagine a very kind, patient teacher at primary school. That's the sort of person that Barnabas was. What we read about him in the Acts of the Apostles is that he was generous with his money and generous in his attitude to other people. His real name was Joseph, but he was given the nickname Barnabas because that meant son of encouragement, son of encouragement. In other words, he was someone who encouraged others. He was a patient pastor. He had discernment and could see the potential in people. Barnabas came from Cyprus, and like Saul, Barnabas was a Greek-speaking Jew. And he probably knew Saul already because they would have belonged to the same synagogue in Jerusalem. Saul, although he was brought up in Tarsus, had studied in Jerusalem at university. So what we learn here is that Barnabas saw the potential in Saul. The Christians in Jerusalem shunned Saul, but Barnabas brought him into the church. The disciples bundled Saul off to Tarsus. But we read later in Acts that Barnabas went to Tarsus and sought Saul out and found a place for him to work in the church in Antioch. People like Barnabas are calm and easygoing. They like things to run smoothly. And, unlike Saul, they disliked conflict. They are the peacemakers of this world. And we need people like Barnabas in the church and in the world. We need Barnabases to give stability to the church. They tend to work long-term in one place. They get things done behind the scenes, and they are a friend, advisor, and encourager. They recognize other people's gifts and find a way for them to be used without needing to be in the limelight themselves. When we look at the world today, we may see this lovely view of yellow gorse and green grass. Two very different colours which complement each other and together make a wonderful picture, each bringing out the beauty of the other. And Saul and Barnabas were two very different people. Saul, the passionate preacher, the upfront person who just stayed a short time and then moved on. Barnabas, the patient pastor working behind the scenes, who tended to stay long term. God brought them together to complement each other and to work together to build up the church, for he intends that in the church there should be room for all. God has created a world with tremendous variety, a world in which there is room for all. And this applies not only to the church, but in society and in the world as a whole. Because we read Jesus' words in Matthew, God causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. God cares for everyone and every living creature. We might apply that today to our elections that we've had recently. Elections where we've had the chance to vote for various parties. And it's a great privilege that we do have these wide varieties of opinion. In our government today, the Scottish Parliament, the UK government too, even the local councils, there's huge varieties of opinion about how things should be done. But that's so important that we have this wide variety of opinions and ideas about way things can be done, because it helps us to together to see a way forward, to overcome problems. Without this variety in our society, we would be lacking something very important and really be unable to function properly. Our world is made up of many different people, and this can make life difficult. And sometimes we may wonder where certain people fit in. Here's a poem that may speak to all of us. I dreamt death came the other night, and heaven's gate swung wide. An angel in a halo bright ushered me inside. And there, to my astonishment, were folks I judged and labelled as quite unfit, of little worth, and spiritually disabled. Indignant words rose to my lips, but never were set free, for every face showed stunned surprise. No one expected me. Yes, we'll probably get some surprises when we get to heaven. The fact is that God cares about every single person. God loves everyone, and he wants everyone to come to know his love, to know him as their loving Heavenly Father. And he wants us to love each other as he loves us, to view people as he views them, to see the potential in each other, and to recognize that in the world there is room for all. Let us pray. Loving Father, we praise you that day by day you are at work in our lives, transforming them beyond all our expectations. We praise you for the way that, despite ourselves, you have called us to faith, breaking through our doubts, our stubbornness, our selfishness, and our pride, and drawing us to Jesus. Help us to keep firm hold of the conviction that you can continue to change us, that whoever we are, and whatever we do, and whatever we face, nothing is outside the scope of your renewing power. Help us to remember that you can change others too, that however hopeless a case may seem, and however much a person may be opposed to you, and however far from you they may appear, you are able to make a new creation of them. Help us to believe that you are at work for good in the world, and that you have called us to play our part in that work through our words, our actions, and our prayers. For we bring these prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. And now we're going to sing again, Let Us Build a House.
Thank you.
And now let us bring the Lord our offerings. Lord, we have brought our gifts today because we want to say thank you for all that you have done in our lives and all that you are doing in the world today, for the way that you are working for good. We thank and praise you and pray that these gifts will be blessed, that they too may be used to work for good, to do your work in this place and throughout the world. We pray for our world today and think especially of all in positions of leadership. We pray for members of Parliament, for the Scottish Parliament, the UK Parliament, and the European Parliament. Especially we think of those who have been newly elected. We think of local councillors and community leaders and pray that they may all make good and wise decisions for the benefit of all people. We pray for Theresa May as she steps down and for the choice of a new Prime Minister. And Lord, we ask that those who are making that choice will be guided by your Holy Spirit to make the right decision. We pray for leaders in other lands and think especially of India, that has just had a general election and the BJ party has been returned with an even greater majority. We pray for their Prime Minister, Narendra Modi, and we bring before you the Christians who are facing so much persecution and We know, Lord, that this election result is going to make things more difficult for them. And so, Lord, we pray for the Christians in India that you would give them strength to keep on serving you and speaking out for you and winning more disciples for you, as they have been doing, Lord. Give them the strength they need in this difficult time. We pray for our own church, the Church of Scotland, for the new moderator, the Reverend Colin Sinclair, and his wife Ruth, for all those who were commissioners and are now returning to their churches and parishes. We think especially about this radical action plan and pray for vision and wisdom for those who have been given the responsibility of bringing about change within our church. We pray for ourselves and ask that you would help us to serve you in our daily lives. And we pray for those who have lost a loved one, for those who are sick or in hospital, for anyone we know in special need, anyone we know who is facing difficulties. Lord, we pray that you would meet their needs, that you would bless them, that you would bless us, and that you would make us a blessing in the world today, in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing hymn is Lord of Creation, to you be all praise.
Lord of Creation, to you be all praise. Most mighty your working, most wondrous your ways. Your glory and power are beyond us to
And now may the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, Keep guard over our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us and remain with us this day and forevermore.